A big theatrical event is happening through Saturday night at Kennedy King College in Inglewood. It's the Encounter Series, Being and Becoming, an annual performance series centered around diversity and inclusion. It features theater, spoken word, dance and performance, short programs like Inspire, Breathe Life by Sir Taylor, who's a guest on this program, also a founding member of the Jesse White Tumblers. Or my guest tonight, Lady Soul's Dance Diary Volume 1, an autobiographical show by the one and only Lady Soul Garcia. Lady Soul is a Mexican-American dancer, choreographer, and performer, and who's co-founded Kumba Links, an internationally recognized arts organization that features hip-hop and social activism. And she's been responsible for bringing the Chicago style of dance, footworking, to audiences all over the world. She's worked with several artists like Busta Rhymes, Cedric the Entertainer, and Lauryn Hill, just to name a very small number of celebrities. She's a teacher for all sorts of Chicago institutions. You know what? These words are not doing Lady Soul justice. She's beyond words. She's woven into the fabric of Chicago and its performance community. My pleasure to welcome Lady Soul Garcia to 720 tonight. Thanks for being here.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. Thank you for being patient. I know the request came in for last week, and we were actually performing that night.
It's all good. I was happy to see, because I've done this program for a little bit and I haven't had a chance to talk with you, but I've seen your work and I know your work just kind of in the performance world here in Chicago. What was the impetus for you to do this show, to tell your story, a story that you've lived, and put it on stage?
Well, I'm going to say it's out of necessity. I'm at a point in my life where I cannot be teaching, I would safely say, no more than 3 classes per week. And for the last 2 or 3 years, I've been in a state of contemplation of what kind of work do I want to get into next. And for me, this is really just a transformation of the work, because I'm still going to be talking about the work. I'm still going to be teaching about the work. But I also wanted to share my narrative.
That's as a dancer, as a longtime dancer, and you've done so, like I said, so much for the Chicago community. Rarely are you front and center in the sense that you're using your voice.
Absolutely.
You'll be using your body. You'll be using other things. So is it an adjustment to be able to tell your story of who you are and what's happened in your life, your narrative, in this form?
Well, I'd like to ask you, when you say an adjustment, what exactly do you mean by
is it tougher to be on stage in this way as opposed to using your body or using dance?
If I'm speaking to the emotional experiences I've had this past week, definitely. But I also came into the work with the mindset of I have nothing else to give but my story. Because so many things have transpired from the work that I'm actually talking about, which is specific to the years of 94 to 96, all the way to, you know, the present, if you will.
Why start your story there? What was it about the mid-90s that you feel you want to share?
Well, this 90s time and space for me was a sweet and sour spot. So I felt that there was a very particular story that I wanted to share, and then all the small stories surrounding that particular story, and the synopsis of that story is that I was living my best life as a dancer, touring in South Africa, and shooting videos with the Fugees, the historical Killing Me Softly video. So there was a lot of wonderful things going on in my life at the time.
Yeah, living really a dream, right?
Yes, absolutely. Living in my dream, living my truth. I was also a third-year student at NYU, so I'd taken a small leave of absence so that I can go on this world tour. And my world tour was interrupted because of a mental health breakdown that, as far as I know, came out of left field. And it pretty much stopped everything that I was doing. I missed the rest of the world tour, and I never got the opportunity to go back to school and finish my degree. So for me right now, the work is, I'm calling it the re-education of Lady Soul. So it's revisiting that time period, writing about it, talking about it. And my absolute intention is to bring it to any college or university that welcomes the work.
Well, it no doubt, I mean, people telling their story and telling their narrative, especially when it comes to mental health, is much more prevalent today than it might have been in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
And to think about the highs and the lows, to be at the highs where you're leaving NYU to go be on tour with the Fugees and the lows of having to leave that tour and not be able to go back to NYU, you can see the startling, when you say the word narrative, you can see just there how that is dramatic.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just correct you right there. I wasn't on a world tour with the Fugees. I was on a world tour with Chicago house music dance artist Gillette.
Okay.
It's just those stories were kind of, intertwining.
Yeah.
You know, I finished South Africa and then I went to New York and Lauren was like, hey, we're shooting a video, come through and tell the homies to come through too. And I did that. And then we met up in Chicago and then we linked up in Chicago and then everything just kind of happened from there. So
Lady Soul Garcia is in studio with me. Her one woman show, it's an autobiographical show, is part of the Encounter series. The show is called Lady Soul's Dance Diary, Volume 1. The Encounter series is at Kennedy King College.
Yes.
As part of the collaboration theater, mm-hmm. or collaboration theater. They have been partnering with Kennedy King and partnering with members of neighborhood theaters for years now. It's a great theater company. We love them here on 720 WGN. All right, so where I want to get into your life and I want to get into your life story because beyond just the show, you have like I've been saying all show today that I feel like you are single-handedly one of the dancers who has put Chicago on the map. Where does that come from? Where, because you have always found yourself, whether it be footwork or whether it be new styles of dance or even going to, like you said, South Africa or Jamaica and being able to bring these styles of dance that we don't usually see in Chicago to Chicago. So how do you see it? Do you see yourself as almost like a pioneer or an ambassador to not only what Chicago does with dance, but also what you bring back?
Absolutely. I definitely see myself as an ambassador of street dance, period, because I've lived in quite a few musical spaces that started with what we call street jazz. When I was a child and I was imitating Janet Jackson's music videos, self-taught at home, just learning the videos from pressing play, pause, mm-hmm. and rewind, which is a part of my show, to beginning the journey of dancing background for Chicago house music legends such as Dajé and Kashmir. His classic song, Percolator, still resonates with young people. Dajé's Brighter Days song still resonates with young people. So I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of classic artists, if you will, and expanding just my musical taste from coming from Chicago in the early 90s, mm-hmm. where even our exposure to hip hop was still very much underground. But I was hanging out with DJs such as Twilight Tone, who has been a longtime DJ of Common.
Mm-hmm.
Their crew was the Dem Dare crew, so it consisted of dancers, graph artists, DJs, again, such as Twilight Zone.
Really a big part of Chicago's hip-hop culture.
I
always wonder about that because there will be all sorts of stories told about New York's hip-hop culture, and you also get the big stories about the West Coast culture.
Mm-hmm.
And Chicago always gets overlooked. And we've had a lot of people in studio talking about that, about even the graphic artists and the dance and the street, like you just said, mm-hmm. street dance scenes.
Yeah.
Do you see it that way, that Chicago kind of got passed over in the American narrative when it comes to hip-hop culture?
I will.
At least at that time.
At that time, I'm going to say absolutely yes. But there is reasoning there because the culture as we know it began in New York. That movement, you know, began there. And, eventually, you know, the East Coast and West Coast were sharing and, you know, exchanging. Mm-hmm. And we were, you know, in the middle. And I think we were doing a lot more consumption of the culture than creative. But of course, you had artists. One artist that I actually worked with in his early days, Tongue Twista, mm-hmm. when he was Tongue Twista, became Twista.
Right.
So at the very onset of his career, I had the opportunity to tour with him in De La Soul on the West Coast.
There's one thing to be pressing play, rewind, stop for Janet Jackson videos yes. and learning how to dance, and yes. and even, you know, particularly being a part of street dance and street culture. It's another to get on these tours, to perform with these artists. How does that happen? When did you know that this was going to be your profession, that this was going to be your career?
Okay. So what happened was I met a promoter and manager in a particular space where I was dancing with one of my dance partners. And it's a funny story. Well, of course, we were underage, but we were dancing at this club. I can't remember the name of it, somewhere on Clark Street. And
and when you say dancing, just dancing in the room or dancing on stage? What do you mean?
No, like on stage.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
dancing
yeah.
in the corner.
At a very early age, I was in the streets, if you will. Clubs such as Medusa's. Yeah. The Riviera. I was always the youngest one, but because I was rolling with particular crews that were older than
you.
I was,
right.
nobody bothered asking for an ID.
Right.
It was like, oh, how many
early
dancers
90s
are with
in
you?
Chicago.
Like
yeah.
clubs, club life. Like everybody loved when the dancers show up. Because we bring just an energy into the spaces that is undeniable and that people absolutely enjoy and love. So I was rolling out with the Kamikaze crew back then, and this particular promoter was actually the only person in the space who questioned, what are y'all doing here?
Yeah, right.
And from those conversations, he let me know that he was managing a couple artists, Ten City being one of them, Byron Stingley. And he said, you know what, we should have a meeting because if you're going to like be out here in these streets, like you should be working.
Right. it's always good.
Yeah. So his name was Doc Brown, Derek Brown. His sister, Ardenia Brown, was working for Def Jam at the moment.
Okay.
And he was actually working for Jam Productions. So they were heavily into promoting the music as well as organizing concerts. And he was promoting Public Enemy, actually.
This is a great origin story for you.
Yeah. And so from there on, he became my mentor and manager. And so he was, I believe, doing business with Twista's manager, Eric the Wiz, who was also a pretty big DJ at the time.
Okay.
And
I love it. All right.
And that's how that happened.
I love
so,
it.
So, yeah, connections.
Leda Lady Soul Garcia is in studio with me, longtime Chicago dancer who is putting on stage her one-woman show. It's called Lady Soul's Dance Diary, Volume 1. It's part of the Encounter series, Being and Becoming, which is at Kennedy King College this weekend.
Yes.
Lady Soul in studio. She's also the co-founder of Kumba Links. We got much more to talk about. We'll take a break here. And Lady Soul in studio on 720 WGN. Stay with us. 720 WGN, Justin Kaufman with you here till 11 o'clock tonight. Lady Soul is here, Lady Soul Garcia. She has got a brand new show called, this is great, Lady Soul's Dance Diary, Volume 1. And it is part of the Encounter series. Being and Becoming is this year's theme. It's part of what Collaboration is doing with Kennedy King College in Inglewood. It's on stage. Is it this weekend? It's this Saturday?
It is. It started last week, and we have two closing shows this Friday and Saturday,
all right.
7 p.m. shows. So,
longtime dancer, choreographer, performer, co-founder of Kumba Links. We were talking before the break just about being a part of Chicago's hip-hop culture in the early 90s. For you to get that opportunity to dance and actually have a job dancing as opposed to just showing up to the club, as you were mm-hmm. saying, what goes into that? What goes into being a background dancer. And I don't mean, I don't even know if that's the right term, so I don't mean to be at all disrespectful, but the idea of, you know, because I've seen a lot of your videos where, you know, to be Wyclef is out on stage and you and other dancers are behind you and it's all choreographed. How much work is that? Just seems like it's a lot of work, and it seems like a very chaotic life.
It absolutely is a lot of work on so many different levels. If you're just a dancer and you're just showing up for the rehearsal, that's one part of it. But if you're actually the dancer, the choreographer, the stylist, the videographer, there's so many things that go into it. And I guess I just call it like this preconceived notion that every dancer is a choreographer was something that artists thought was just like a natural thing. Mm-hmm. So getting hired to dance behind somebody to the artist meant, oh, yeah, they're choreographers
too. They'll
figure
it out. Yeah, they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out. And so we were forced to, back then, to just, okay, we're going to put some moves together. Okay, here's the music. All right, what are we wearing?
You had to do it all. It's like a one-stop shop.
Yes, we had to do it all, including, like I said, the styling. Sometimes there might be wardrobe available, but a lot of the times, no.
There's something freeing about the idea of you being in charge of your own move. I mean, it teaches you to be a choreographer and everything, but I would imagine that's also stressful that you are doing the work in the name of the artist.
Yes. And I got to a point where I pretty much got tired of it.
Yeah.
Because again, it's somebody else's vision, or you're pretty much helping them, stand out and look great, and you may not be reaping the greater benefits. So since we're talking, yes, let's talk. Dance diaries.
Well,
there's just even when you get to the level of working with a big name artist, there's this mentality with not all artists, but a lot of them, that you should be honored that you're working with them. And you're not getting the pay rates that you absolutely deserve.
Well, I was going to ask that question next, just about just the overall condition of that kind of work, because it's I would say a lot. It's very unregulated. It's what they choose to pay you, I'd assume. I wouldn't be surprised if some of these stories show up in the show about some of the hardships that women face being backup dancers at that time with some of the artists. I mean, all that kind of is a big part of what you had to endure to just dance on stage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I definitely speak to that in terms of sexual politics, if you will. Mm-hmm. I've spent the majority of my career fighting men off me, if you will, declining offers, saying no a lot. And in turn, I feel like I was punished. You know, I didn't get that next job with that artist, or I wasn't recommended, to others and what have you. So my experience has been that it's a very, very sexist culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, the expectations for you to perform beyond your just artistic performance is almost expected. And I had problems with that, because also, and I talk about it in my show, so I have no problem sharing the story with you. It really traumatized me, to a degree. And so when I look back at those years in retrospect, I can see why I probably had that breakdown, but not knowing that it was coming from those angles.
Right.
Because when I think about, okay, well, what all did I go through, you know, during that time period as a young woman, really just trying to do my best to do what I love to do.
We're almost out of time.
Yes.
I hate that.
No, and it's okay. No, they can come to the show.
Lady Soul Garcia, you go to the show.
Come see the show.
you're in your life with Kumba Links, but also with your job as a teacher and an artist in residence. And do you, through the experience you had as a dancer and having to go through being a young dancer in the hip hop culture, are you able to teach those lessons and sort of convey that wisdom to a younger generation?
Absolutely. I've had the pleasure of being in spaces that are not so scrutinized by the institutions.
Right.
And we've had a lot of conversations. There's been programming where I specifically ask that these programs are only tailored for young women. And we've been able to have these conversations. And what I found is that there was a reoccurring conversation about sexual trauma, sexual abuse, you know. And one of the reasons why I want to share these stories, you know, and really deliver the message of talking to our daughters. Let's talk to our daughters about their own bodies, yeah. Because I didn't even know what was going on with my body per se. I didn't understand, you know, the value of just being a overdeveloped young woman, or I didn't understand when people used to say, "Damn, she thick." You know, like, what do you mean I'm thick? You know, and so it was just that naiveness, yeah. Or of not knowing much about my body.
Well, I want to have you back because beyond just the show, just your life and dance and the arts here in Chicago,
thank
you have a lot
you.
To say. Yes. Lady Soul's Dance Diary Volume 1 is this Friday and Saturday at Kennedy King College in Inglewood as part of the collaboration series Encounter, Being and Becoming. Lady Soul Garcia, a pleasure to have you
on
the show.
Pleasure to
Thanks for being
meet
here.
You.